0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we slowly shift from the international break back towards domestic football. Last night's results though mean Scotland will be in pot three for the World Cup draw despite making the Nations League playoffs. Ian Durant is confident Philippe Clement can turn things round at Rangers this season, and Hearts confirm an agreement with Brighton owner Tony Bloom's football data analysis firm. Two men who are going to explain to you exactly what that means tonight, Simon Donnelly and Marvin Bartley.
We've got a bigger question. Who put up the Christmas tree already?
Can you see that? Is it in shot?
It looks really nice and Christmassy.
I know, it's a bit early for me, I have to say.
It's too early.
But listen, it is what it is. It's going to sit behind you for the rest of the show, and you're just going to have to act festive around it, okay?
Well, I reckon it will move more than Simon Donnelly was in the Masters, that's for sure, mate.
How long has it taken him?
It's the first time we've seen you since your Masters performance last week. I can tell Marvin's not, you're not happy with him?
Nah, disappointed. I actually took a picture of you that I was going to post.
Did you?
But off your TV?
Yeah, he was warming up at the start, but then he didn't get much quicker than that, if I'm honest.
You got it on your phone?
Yeah.
That wasn't my favourite observation. Not see the back of his strip.
No,
spelt his name wrong.
That just kind of summed up
Celtic legend Simon Donnelly.
Summed up my evening.
He can't even get his name right.
1-0.
Really?
1-0. The guy apologised, but come on.
That's not good enough, is it?
Get the names right on the back of the jersey.
That still made you sign it at the end.
It didn't. The evening didn't really improve for me after that.
Legs still sore from last week.
Yeah. Listen, no spring chicken.
It could have been worse. Mark Wilson could have won it 2 years in a row with different teams, and he didn't, which is a great relief.
Yeah, they looked the liveliest out the four.
Anyway, I'm sure we can slag you a bit more later on. How are you both? We're back. International break coming to an end.
Yeah, I want to apologise. I only predicted 4 points and Scotland got six.
You did.
Remember people were laughing last
week?
You did.
I said I fancied us to get something on the Friday, but you said we'd go and beat Poland, so... kudos to you.
Brilliant. Scotland, absolutely brilliant. Two like really strong performances. McGinn coming on and getting a goal. Should be actually, for any youngster out there who disappointed they don't start games of football, his reaction has been fantastic over coming on in that game and then starting the next game and obviously going past Ali McCoy. So massive congratulations to him. But yeah, listen, Scotland were very, very good. And just unfortunately didn't get into pot two with the results going against him yesterday.
Yeah, I've never paid so much attention to hoping for a Georgia equaliser against Czech Republic.
I watched a bit of it.
Did you really? I didn't go that far. I was just checking the scores.
No, I watched a little bit of it. But just to reiterate what he says, the two performances were excellent. I really enjoyed the Poland game. Thought both teams going at it. They kept the ball at times really well. Nice goals. Fantastic winning goal. Suter into Andy Robertson. Fantastic header. And we have discovered a superstar, I think. The young boy, Doak, has been excellent. I think he brings something to the team that we lacked in the Euros with the pace, directness, aggressive way he plays the game, no fear, and he really gets us up the pitch and adds something, a real threat to our front line. So I think it was a great performance. I thought the boys were brilliant. Especially on Monday night, I thought everybody was excellent.
Yeah, I think a bit of a clean slate for you all tonight. It's really up to you. We're starting to move back towards domestic football, so if you'd rather go down that road, you can. 0141 951 1025. If you're just chomping at the bit to discuss anything to do with the domestic return, I'm sure you Celtic fans are excited about it, hoping you can pick up where you left off. What have you been thinking over the break? Rangers fans, I don't know, sometimes breaks work in mysterious ways. Maybe you come out of it with a newfound freshness and kick on in a way that you weren't doing before the break. Anyone else out there who wants to turn their attentions back to domestic football, now is a good time to do it on that usual number. If you're not quite done yet and you want to just tie up some loose international ends before we move on, that would be absolutely fine as well. As we said, we now sort of know where we stand going forward about the pots and the seedings and World Cups and Nations Leagues and playoffs and all that sort of stuff. So if you want to react to any of that, maybe we do it now and that's sort of a line drawn under it. We move on thereafter and get fully back to the domestic stuff. So it really is up to you on 0141 951 1025. Give us a call or send us a tweet at ClydeSSB. A couple of bits doing the rounds that we will touch on throughout the show. We'll hear from Ian Durant. He's got some thoughts on Rangers' current situation. I'd like to hear from you Hearts fans. You've now officially hooked up with Tony Bloom's analytics firm. and got the rights to the know-all that goes on there. So, or the know-how, I should say. So let's see how that pans out for you. Is that something that excites you, or do you just need to wait and see how that pans out? And anything else that you want to share with us, this is the time and the place. Hopefully we'll touch a bit on Dumbarton's situation a bit later on as well. So any Dumbarton fans out there who would like to give us a call, please do. 01419511025. Just to let the people out there know that they can go domestic football if they so wish. Are you excited about it all returning in the top flight, certainly?
Yeah, I am.
Even as a Hibs fan?
Well, that's a bit that I was gonna correct it with. But no, I am. Listen, as good as international football is, and you know, the whole country gets to then support the national team, I think, you know, the bread and butter really is the domestic football. It brings back the rivalries, it brings back the banter. Some, you know, fans are looking forward to it more than others, as you just mentioned there. Gordon being a Hibs fan, not too much. But yeah, listen, just want to see all the players back playing again, and they, you know, get to watch the football on the Saturdays again.
Yeah, I mean, the games are going to come thick and fast now, right up to March time. We're getting right into the bread and butter of it. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to all the games coming thick and fast, obviously.
This is a proper run this now, isn't it? I like the international break. I know not everyone does, but you get one in September, in October, in November.
I think there's fans out there, I said it in the show last week,
you
get
wall
frustrated
to wall now.
A wee bit. When the games actually happen, there's no bigger Scotland fan than myself watching them, but this is where the league starts to take real shape.
Come on then, 01419511025. That is the number that you need. So whether you want to tie up the loose ends and finish off the international discussion before we move on, you can do that, do it right now, or you can already switch focus back to domestic football. It really is up to you. I thought a good way for us to do it though would be to give you the ultimate explainer as to where things stand for Scotland. You two, as if it's going to involve you two. You just need to sit back and get educated here, because I'm pleased to say we're joined on the line by, if you're on social media, Twitter, X, whatever they're calling that new variation of it, you will be familiar with Mr. Scotland's coefficient, who is the ultimate authority on all these things. How are you?
Hi, Gordon. I'm good. Thanks for that introduction there.
See, I know you have an actual name, but I prefer not to use it. I like to keep you as this like mythical sort of figure out there who just gives us all this information. Are you happy with that? We just give you your stage name?
Yeah, you can call me the mythical man, or you can call me Gavin, whichever is easier for you.
Gavin's far too mundane for me, I'm afraid. No offence. I like this kind of superhero version of it. So, right, last night, when we were on air, Gavin, we obviously spoke... Oh, I've done it. I've said, called him Gavin. Nightmare. we were obviously reflecting on Scotland's bit in it all, but we weren't quite done yet. We didn't quite know what it meant, because we were waiting on a couple of results last night. So, in your own words, sum it all up. What's confirmed now? What do we know?
Yeah, so obviously, as you already mentioned, we were waiting on a result last night that could have put us up to pot two. It didn't happen, so we're in pot three, which is a real pain because we were so close to pot one. So if those results went for us, the Portugal-Croatia game the other night, then we would have been in pot one. So unfortunately, in pot three. And today, there's been confirmation that we will have to be in a four-team group. And even more than that, they've then limited the teams we can actually get from pot two. So there's only six teams we can actually draw now from pot two. And it just so happens that three of them, so 50% of the teams, are also the teams we can get on Friday's draw for the Nations League playoff. So next year, 2025, we'll play eight competitive matches, and there's like a 1 in 8 chance that half of them, 4 of them, will be against the same team. So we need to get the analysts out and analysing whoever it is and know them inside out to make sure we get the better of them 4 times.
Brilliant. Familiarity breeds contempt and all that stuff. What about, let's go specifically World Cup then, and in terms of being in pot 3, how damaging is that? It goes without saying you want to be in pot 2. How big a blow do you consider it to be?
Well, initially, I thought it was a massive blow because it means you could get one of the big boys from pot one, so France, Spain, Germany, whoever, but then the pot two teams that are probably better than us anyway, like Sweden, Norway, there's quite a few of them. But with today's news, where some of those teams have been cut out, specifically Norway, so we can't get Haaland, Sweden, who've got the boy from Sporting Lisbon up front, they've got Isaac from Newcastle, they've got loads of great players, we can't get them either. So actually, the blow's been softened a little bit today because the pot two team we'll get hopefully isn't as tough as it could have been. The best thing that could happen is if we get a low team from pot one. So Switzerland are in there. Austria, Denmark, Croatia, who we just beat. Belgium are kind of on the way down. So there are like 3, 4, 5 teams that we would maybe fancy ourselves against. the top half of the pot 1-0. If we get any of them, you're pretty much just playing for a playoff spot off the bat, because only the group winners qualify automatically. So I think it's more important who we get from pot 1. So the difference between pot 3 and pot 1 was massive, but the difference between 3 and 2, probably not that big.
So what's the best, what's that, give us quickly your best and worst case scenario then for the World Cup draw?
I think the best case is Switzerland from pot 1, and then any day from pot 2, so Ukraine, Turkey, Greece, whoever it is, as long as the pot 1 team isn't unbeatable, okay, then it just makes the group wide open. Worst case is getting England or Spain or France, someone that's likely to beat everybody and take first place at a canter. That just makes it really difficult.
I think that is quite good news, because so if
we can get England, is that what,
we can. We're unrestricted. We can get anyone from pot 1. That is good news that you can't face a Sweden from pot 2. I think looking at the way they're going at the moment,
they look good. They look good with the last.
They're excellent. Yeah. Actually, Marvin, see if you look through it all, Scotland should at least be in a position now where you'd feel, I don't know what the word is, confidence the right word, but comfortable that you could take these teams on.
Yeah. Listen, after the last two, you know, victories, but even the performances that came before that, I think they'll be extremely confident they'll take anyone. As you said, you want to avoid some of those big teams in pot 1. The team in pot 2, obviously watching them play against England, is probably Greece, that I would say, that they're very athletic, a really good team on the counter-attack. So, you know, I agree, outside of that, in pot 2, there's nothing really to fear. But yeah, listen, you go into this full of confidence, you know, what the time it comes around, and the players will fully believe in it.
Is there a case, Mr. Coefficient, to say that, you know, have we been hard done by in some sort of way, do you think, out of this Nations League? I don't know if that's just the sort of Scotland fan in you that wants to complain, but, you know, this draw for the World Cup, and I know they're not necessarily linked, but this will obviously take place in December. The playoffs don't come round till March. I mean, we potentially could still be a Nations League A side, one of the top ranked teams, and yet we find ourselves in pot 3. Are we in quite a strange position compared to the other teams that are in Nations League A?
Yeah, we are. So in pot 3 is so rare, and the problem with it, and I am very bitter and I complain all the time, but looking at it objectively and rationally, for the Euros, the playoff spots through the Nations League go to the League A teams. So Wales, for example, were a League A team last time round. They got relegated, but they were still a League A team, so they got a playoff spot for the Euros. For the World Cup, it changes, and the playoff spots don't go to the League A teams. They only go to the group winners. So back to the Wales example, they've been relegated to League B, just won their League B, so now they're guaranteed a playoff spot. Whereas Scotland, who were in League A, didn't get relegated automatically. We might still not get relegated, but we won't get a playoff spot. Instead, it'll go to San Marino or Moldova or something, have quite a high chance of getting a playoff spot, because they were a group winner in League D.
That's definitely something we can complain about. So if this was a Euro, if the next tournament was a Euros, and we had just had the Nations League campaign that we had, we'd probably get a playoff spot. But because it's the World Cup, we're in pot 3.
Yeah, we'd be guaranteed a playoff spot unless four of the League A teams didn't qualify, four of the big boys. So that wouldn't happen.
No, that's unlikely.
Or didn't finish in their top two. So you have to finish outside the top two to benefit from these Nations League spots, which is why your San Marinos and Moldova and stuff have a really good chance of getting into the World Cup playoffs. Whereas for us, because it's a World Cup tournament next, not a Euros tournament, we have no chance of getting it that way. We have to actually finish second in the group, which is why we need a decent draw in December.
This is quite a Scottish situation we find ourselves in. We tend to do this. Gavin, but how damaging was that long winless run then in all of this? How big a part has it played? I said this last night when people kept using the stat to beat Steve Clarke with it was one win in 14, 15, 16. But some of them, you know, it was friendlies that we chose. We chose to play England, we chose to play France, we chose to play the Netherlands. There's no shame in losing those games, but we did. And I wonder now with hindsight, would we have or should we have done something differently?
Yeah, absolutely. And it is just hindsight, but we've went 2 wins in 14 months. Now we've changed that, 2 wins in 72 hours, by the way, so we're class again. Let's not worry about that. But in hindsight, that big winless run, if you take any of the fixtures that we lost, England, Holland, France, any of those friendlies, and we play any other team and we don't lose, we would have been in pot 2. It was that tight, the margins, so we were the very top team in pot 3.
So to be clear, if we swapped that Netherlands friendly for a game against San Marino and we drew it, that would be enough?
that would have put us in pot two.
Oh dear. Oh, I don't like that.
At the time, though, if the SFA came out and said, just before your Euros tournament, we're going to play the worst team in the world, we'd be like, don't be so silly, play the best so that we've got a better chance at the Euros. But now that we've done the Euros, embarrassed ourselves, and then not even got in pot two, it's like, right, that wasn't great.
That's tough. That scenario's tough to take for me, I have to say. Having said that, there were a couple of games in there then. Obviously, the, you know, Northern Ireland's like the one really bad result I think we've had. And maybe, you know, failing to see off Finland that night before the Euros, you could spin it that way, couldn't you? Just take care of one of those games and we're not in this situation either.
So we're saying you could have played an easier team. Northern Ireland, no disrespect to them, Finland, they're all teams that we'd expect to beat, and we didn't beat them either. The worst thing about it, though, is the way the FIFA rankings work, you lose more points for losing games at the major tournaments. So again, if we'd had one better result at the Euros, we would have been in pot two, because you get heavily penalised because it's such, there's an importance factor in their ranking. So an important game gains or loses you more points depending on the outcome. So any one of the games over the last 14 months changed the result and we were pot two. But as I said at the top of the show, it doesn't actually make that big a difference between pot three and pot two. The real difference would have been between pot three and pot one had we got the results on Sunday night.
Yeah, I suppose that softened the blow a bit then. I don't feel like I'm living with quite so much regret. I do wonder though, just in future, do you think, can it be, not maybe manipulated is the wrong word, but you think these things, can you plot your path as a nation? Can you do that? Because yes, like Northern Ireland was disappointing, Finland was disappointing, but you could also say that like you're bound to slip up at some point. You're bound to have like an off day, but if you also give yourself enough chances to get, you know, relevant results against relevant sides, the teams do that? Can you do that?
Yeah, and it's been done over the last 10 years. So there's articles online about Wales and their FA apparently planned how many friendlies they're going to play, who the opposition would be to get them up the rankings. And they ended up in the top 10 in the world. And they're clearly not a top 10 worldwide team, but they got there. The caveat to that is they had Gareth Bale running down the wing every match. So, I mean, they probably were one of the top teams in the world at that point with that one player. And you never know, Ben Doak on our wing, he could sort of lead the same sort of charge for us. But yeah, it's all hindsight now. I think we made the right decisions leading up to it. You wouldn't want to go into a Euros playing the weakest opposition just to try and get a better pot for two tournaments time. I think we probably did the right thing. It's just unfortunate that we hit such a bad run of form for so long.
There we go. So quick timeline. When do we find out the opponents for this playoff to stay in Nations League A?
That is on Friday morning at 11 a.m. There's four possible opponents there. We play one of them, two legs. We're away first because we're the seeded team from League A. So the second leg's at home, which is normally an advantage.
And remind me who those options are again.
You're testing me now because I'm not on my computer. But I think it's Ukraine, Turkey, Greece and Austria.
Yeah, that's right. There we go. Good, you passed the test.
Right. He's a pundit. Yeah.
Exactly.
You're the big Simon.
Easily. And then on to December, we find out the World Cup. We're in pot three, but you don't think that's that bad as long as we avoid one of the big boys.
Yeah, and the problem with that is because they've mucked this up so much, UEFA, with their scheduling, the semi-finalists of the Nations League have to go into a 4-team group. There's only 6 14-team groups, of which we are one of. So that means we've got a 66% chance of getting one of the four semi-finalists, which you'd assume will be the four biggest teams. So where I'm saying I want Switzerland or Austria from pot one, we're much more likely to get one of the four best teams.
Oh, hold on a minute. You saved that right till the end and sneaked
it hangs off.
That changed things. Well,
body blow. Do you know what makes it even worse? Is we won't know who it is until March, because that's when the playoffs are. So they use placeholders in the draw. So instead of saying France or Spain, it will say the winner of quarterfinal one. And what that means is those eight teams playing in the quarterfinals will have two options of World Cup qualifying groups coming up. So they could be drawn in a group of death if they win their quarterfinal, and then a diddy group if they lose it.
I'm sick of this.
Any self-respecting nation that knows the World Cup's better than the Nations League would play the reserves in that quarterfinal to deliberately lose to then get an easier group.
I was enjoying it at the start. My head's I'm gone. I'm absolutely gone. But what an insight that was. Genuinely, you should be thanked by the whole nation for the hard work you put into this. Thank you very much. Much appreciated.
No worries, Gordon. Thanks for having me. Good man.
Seriously, what a fountain of knowledge.
I think I was on the you were asking before we came. I was on the last time.
I just don't know how I feel now though, because I thought I was feeling optimistic. That last bit's then killed that bit for me.
That's thrown me a little bit.
Well, never mind. Right, if you want to cheer us up, you want to, like I say, this is a good chance maybe to draw a line under the international stuff. You want to comment on what you've heard there, talk about your hopes for the way things pan out, you can do, and then we can knock it in the head and move on to domestic football, I should say. If you want to do that right now, then give us a call, 01419511025.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Check out our YouTube stream now. You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Marvin Bartley and Simon Donnelly are here. A couple of ibuprofen down them at the break to get over all the headaches caused by Scotland's permutations. Called you worse, I have to say. Good time to call though, whether you want to just reflect on what you heard there and think about Scotland's position going forward. Final thoughts on international football, and at some point tonight for sure we draw a line under it and move on, look to the future. If you want to do that, I don't mean the distant future, I mean like this weekend or anything that's on your mind on the club front. It's been a quiet few days there. Let's go to Mark, who's in the south side. How are you, Mark?
How are you doing, Gordon? You okay?
Yeah, all good here. We've just had a lowdown, Mark, on where things sit for Scotland as we put international football to bed for a bit. So how are you feeling about it all?
I think the nation's very, very positive. I think at the start of the Nations League, we were a wee bit down and we were criticising Steve Clarke. But I think he's pulled it out of the bag the last three games. And in my opinion, I think we could have won all the games. I think we had good performances in every game. But
I think that's a fair point, isn't it? In that points are points, the most important thing by a mile. But maybe you've just been battered by years of big disappointments and stuff. I thought at some point when you go into Nations League 8, I thought at some point you get outclassed in a game. Mm. Never really happened. I mean, even as Mark says, even when we couldn't get any results, never looked out of or depth or whatever the phrase would be.
No, we never. I think even the polling game at Hampden, we get ourselves back into that game and then they score late on. But I think Mark's right. I think we've turned the campaign round. Okay, we finished third, but I think we're a lot more optimistic now. The shape of the team's changed. He's brought in some different players. Obviously, young Doak likes a Gold. There's different ones came in, freshened it up a little bit. We've still got one or two players to come back, but I think we're in a good place. I always said we had good players. Yeah, it was a bad run we were on, and I think everybody's disappointment is from the Euros because we didn't offer much going forward at the Euros, and that, I think, was the frustration. And I've touched on it on the show before. Every other team looked as if they'd pace.
Yeah.
Now we've got a little bit of that in our team as well with the youngster coming in. And we just look a different side. You've got McTominay and Gilmour are now playing in Serie A. They'll improve. John Souter had an excellent game the other night. If he can stay away from injury, which has frustrated him in the past for Scotland, we'll look good. We look good. And I know we were talking there before the break about the coefficient and the permutations, but I think looking at the performances, hopefully we're going to get better, and you know, I think we can compete with most of the teams.
You want to take a wee bit of credit for the winning goal the other night? Was it made in the training ground of St Andrews in Tangerine?
It was a fantastic goal.
Do you teach John Souter how to do that?
No.
Do you teach Andy Robertson how to do that?
I've popped up with the odd header over my time, but no, I can't take any.
Did you not score a daft header at Fir Park?
I did.
I think I've seen footage of that.
Yeah.
Threw something at my TV when I saw it.
It was a winner.
But that's good.
A few years ago.
Seriously, to see that, it's a nice story.
To see the likes of when we were at Dundee United with Ryan Gold, I thought he was an absolute shoo-in to be a star for Scotland. And his career path has taken different turns. He's went to Portugal. He's found himself in a place now where I think he's really comfortable, enjoys his football. And he's got himself in the Scotland squad. Now, we've only used him, you know, off the bench at different times, but he's something that he can bring something special. And see, when you look at them, and then Armstrong came off at the bench the other night as well, it's great to see these boys. Andy Robertson getting 80 caps is exceptional. He's going to, I mean, my hero was Kenny Dalglish growing up. He could pass Dalglish's cap return, which is incredible.
Think so? Think he's got that many?
I think he could. Yeah, I think he could.
Certainly, second place is there.
But to see the boys excelling, they were fantastic as young players at Dundee United, and to see them still playing at the top of their game for the nation, it's really good.
Mark, do you think, you know, listen, it's hard to know. We don't know who you get in the playoffs, don't know who you get in the draw, but we're kind of figuring it all out. Do you think we're getting to those in a kind of a good place, albeit they're a bit away?
I think we're getting to it in a positive mind. We'll get like 2 wins in a draw. Yeah. And in my opinion, we had Portugal rattled Ronaldo and everything in the second half as well. We could have got a draw. We were very, very unlucky, albeit Ronaldo scored in, what was it, injury time in the last couple of minutes or something. So everything's positive. But I just want to say something, because I'm an Aberdeen supporter.
Time you're having then.
Life's fantastic.
He's not going to bring up the Masters, is he?
Are you even winning the Masters, Mark? Did you see that last week?
I seen that, Simon. I was down there, Simon, and Aberdeen. With our taps and all that on, and we were like shouting for the boys and stuff. But,
you enjoy it? Enjoy the tournament.
I think Dundee United were probably the best of the teams, but we were, but the story was written for us to win it, and we're home back.
Is that a sign?
Oh, it's a sign.
Who knew that the Masters was a sign of Premiership domination, Mark?
I think we'll win the league, but I think we'll finish second. I've always said we'll finish second, and we will. We're four games ahead of Rangers, 9 points, so we'd have to lose 4 games for them to overtake us. So we're going into St Mirren. We've not got the best record down at St Mirren in Paisley, but we've sold out our allocation. I think there's about 2,500 travelling down to Paisley, and I think we'll get the 3 points. I'm very, very positive.
Sometimes breaks work in mysterious ways, and all of a sudden momentum comes away from a team. You've got no concerns this time?
No, not under this manager. We've proved that we can overcome adversity when we get battered with Celtic at Hampden, and then we demolished Dundee 4-1 easy at Aberdeen, albeit a mediocre first half performance. But the manager does is play positive substitutions. I've never ever seen him playing since we played made a negative and brought on a defender. He's always played positive, and that's the positive thing for us. And life's good with Scotland. I hope we do well. I think the draw is March, I think it is. So hopefully we get a decent draw. And Aberdeen, well, I'm a happy boy walking up and down in Glasgow right now.
I bet you are.
Absolutely.
An Aberdeen fan in Glasgow.
Much.
Loving
thanks
it. Brilliant.
I know you've got like quite a lot of calls coming in, but thanks, Marvin, Simon, and you yourself, Gordon.
Brilliant. You're a good man, Mark. We'll speak to you soon. That was Mark, an Aberdeen fan, sort of / Scotland fan tonight in the south side of Glasgow, who's just loving everything. Domestic football, international football, Masters football. So maybe that's the best place to be right now, as an Aberdeen and Scotland fan.
Oh, I think you said the Masters.
Are you laughing at me?
The Dodging didn't even get invited this year.
I know. Exactly. We'll be back next year.
Is that why you were bitter?
With another guy, Bruno Alves. He was the one that
he was the new Dodging.
Bodies into the...
What is Portuguese for Dodging?
Barrier.
Oh, he was dangerous. He's more dangerous than me.
You think so?
Yeah,
100%. Or are you the type that sits there and think, I'd like a piece of that?
No, because I wouldn't have taken kindly to that at all. I think Jess reacted well.
You and him would have been happy with that
at all,
because you have just turned yourself into a dodgem now. Like, you're much bigger than you were as a footballer. I'm not saying you're overindulging in the cakes department, but you just,
I'm like 14 kg heavier.
Seriously?
Yeah,
you're 14 kilos heavier than when you played
muscle.
Yeah, just
what, for Livy?
Yeah, from being at Livy. Yeah.
What?
So I was 84 then. Well, I'm just over 14 kg
heavier.
Like,
he just wants to bash people out the way.
I was getting ready for this year's Masters and didn't get invited.
Anyway, David's on the line. How are you, David?
I'm good, Gordon. How are you?
Yeah, not bad. What are you thinking tonight?
It's just a quick question for Simon, and Marvin can jump in if he wants, but it was just about Ben Doak. Obviously, he's been tearing it up for the last two, three, four games for Scotland. And I just wonder if Celtic's missed a beat on this. Have they sold them too early? Is this just like one of those hindsight moments? But would they get in front of Nicholas Kuhn just now? I just wanted to take Simon's point on it and ask the question, did we leave this guy hanging?
Go on, Simon. Is he better than Nicholas Kuhn? That's a great question to upset half the country.
Yeah, it's a good question. Would he get in the team just now? I think the kids get something special. Kuhn's had an excellent start to the season, right enough. By all accounts, the lad wanted to go to Liverpool. The Premiership went very early. He's now just back from injury and he's in loan at Middlesbrough. I think he has to play games, obviously. But again, we've seen in recent times it's hard when teams from the Premiership come calling for young players. From a Celtic perspective, I would have loved him to hang about for a wee bit longer because I think he's going to be a special player.
David, are there some occasions where you can't really do much? I mean, I obviously don't know anything behind the scenes, but I mean, he played for Celtic, didn't he, at 16? I think he came on in a Rangers game.
He did, yeah.
So, I mean, I guess they tried to sort of show him that there was a route there to the first team. Are we just in the unfortunate position now where football's got to a place that if Liverpool come calling, and I know Rangers fans have maybe got similar feelings about, you know, like Billy Gilmore sort of thing. Yeah. If Liverpool, Chelsea, if they come calling, is there much you think Celtic can do?
No, listen, if someone's coming and chapping your door and saying, I'll give you 4 times the money or 10 times the money, I get it. Listen, I get it. It's just unfortunate because they go so young and you're like, Harry Hindsight is a good thing. But yeah. But no, it's good to see these young guys getting a chance. And I suppose the thing to mention is that, you know, he's a 19-year-old and he's playing for Scotland, so that's a good thing.
The next bit is going to be crucial though, Marvin, because try and word this carefully. I'm in no mood to take anything away from Ben Doak. I'm as excited as everyone think he's been brilliant. As it stands at a club level, he's an English Championship player. That's just the way it is. So what happens here? Does he become an outstanding English Championship player for now? Can he go back to Liverpool and make any sort of impact? Or actually, is there another move there at some point soon?
No, I think Liverpool either. I'll be surprised if they don't call him back in January, but definitely end of the season. Next season, he'll be a part of their plans.
You think so?
Yeah, he has to be. The way, you know, he's played for Scotland, obviously, you know, being at Middlesbrough, I've seen a couple of their games there as well, and he's been breathtaking. He really, really has. So I think as a manager, you look at that and be like, right, even if he's coming off the bench to play 20, 25 minutes, you slowly start to introduce him to that Liverpool team because, as I said, internationally and the Championship level, he's done what he needs to do. Salah's contract's up in the summer. Will he sign a new one? We don't know. But Ben Doak will definitely be in and around that next season, if not in January.
What do you think? What does the future look like?
Well, you watch him against Guardiola on Friday night. Guardiola's one of the best defenders in the world, at English Premiership. And he roasted them. He gave him a torturous night.
And people will have seen that, you know, like, especially nowadays.
He's got all the tools, Gordon. And I think you've interviewed him. I've met him once. I think his mentality is good. He's that kind of fearless teenager where he says, I'm just concentrating on the next game. He's allowing all of us to get excited about it and the fans out there to get excited about it. I think he just focuses on his next game. He's got all the tools. And, you know, from watching little bits of him from 16 through to 19, he's now decision-making in games. He plays the one into McGinn the other night. He did similar for Middlesbrough last weekend for 2 assists. So there's end product there. He's blistering pace. As I say, he's fearless. That puts fear into defenders. Yeah. It gets you up the park. It creates space for others. He's a great outlet. And I think we're right to be excited about him because that's what we've lacked. Mm-hmm. We've lacked somebody with a wee bit of special talent, and I think he's got it.
Remember that time you played wing back at Hampden?
I was actually
how
on the wing.
Go from that
I was left wing. Because similar.
I like to bring it up every week if I can. Just the thought of you.
That was my retirement on that pitch.
Face up, Ben Doak.
Oh,
how sharp is he?
Oh, I would have just ran into him. Honestly, I would have just tried to run into him. But he is. really, really good, as Simon said there. You know, he's comfortable to go either way. But when you've got that sort of pace, but then you've got, you know, an eye for a pass as well. Yeah. He actually put one into McTominay as well. It's probably just slightly behind him. Yeah, McTominay gets a shot away. But no, brilliant, brilliant.
What do you think in the initial point of, you know, David's as a Celtic fan now looking, saying, can you do more? Should you do more? Is it one that gets away? How?
No, listen, Celtic would have loved to have kept him. I remember speaking to a Celtic coach maybe 4 or 5 years ago, and he said he is the best one. And back then, I had no idea who the kid was. And obviously, see him playing now. He said he is the best one. He's been at Celtic for a lot of time. He said he's the best one that I've seen coming through. He'll be a superstar. And kind of take it with a pinch of salt, don't you? As much as I respect him, hopefully he's not listening. But yeah, you know, he's gone to do that. But no, listen, Celtic couldn't have done anything about that. There's no doubt about it. Simon said, when Liverpool come in, you know, you have to go. You wouldn't, you know, forgive yourself if you turn that sort of move down.
Good point, though, David. Thank you for raising it tonight. And it is that part of the evening where I try and make your weekend quite a big bit better.
Christmas Cash Countdown. Win £400,000.
Picture it, you're refreshing your online banking app, or maybe you're old school and you're typing in the PIN, show me your balance, whatever it is. It's been a while since I did that, I have to say, but Hugh Keevans knows what that feels like. If you want to see that boosted by £400,000, make sure you get involved in the Christmas Cash Countdown. You're running out of time, so get in that draw. £400,000. Text YES to 61025. Texts are 250 plus your standard network rate. You can enter at Clyde1.com for 250 as well, or call 0330 880 4523, and the calls are charged at a standard rate. It's over 18s only. All the rules for this Rail Network competition are on our website, and the lines close at 5pm on Friday, so you are slowly running out of time. It's so easy as well. It's not one of those, a phrase to remember or a certain number of rings. Just answer your phone and the £400,000 would be yours. It is a guaranteed winner. Somebody will win the lot. Make sure there's a chance of it being you. Text YES to 61025.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Head to at Clyde SSB on X now. 0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Marvin Bartley and Simon Donnelly are in the building waiting for you to get in touch. I can sense it out there. I can sense you're ready to shift away from the international break and go back to domestic football. But if you want to prove us wrong, that's fine. Or anything else you want to get across to the guys, it is the same number, 0141 951 1025. We're even here to ridicule Simon for his Masters performance week. What do you mean you're not? You're the instigator.
I'm supporting him.
Took you 30 seconds to bring it up.
What did we figure? You were the second oldest in the competition.
Second oldest, yeah. Ian Jess.
Good on you.
Ian Jess.
Good on you for still getting out there.
53. Yeah.
Exactly.
Is that how old you are? Oh, Ian Jess. To be fair, you weren't moving like you're one of the older players to be.
I thought
he
looked alright.
Do you know something? Pedro Mendes, I thought he would have been their age, and I get talking to him, he's only 45.
Same with him. By the way, I thought Bruno Alves was much older than he is.
What is he?
I think he's still in his 30s.
Is he?
I know, I had this notion that he was about 45 when he played for Rangers, and he obviously wasn't.
Mendes,
I'm sure I looked it up last week.
He scored the only header in Masters history.
I know,
man.
From a corner.
Honestly, so
old,
aggressive.
Old school. Old school.
Bruno Alves is. Oh no, he's 42. Sorry, he's 42. Right. But I thought he was knocking on that when he was here. And now he's running around the P&G Arena in Aberdeen with you on a Thursday night. How things change. Thomas is on the line. How are you, Thomas?
Hi, Gordon. How are you doing?
Good, good. What's your point for the guys?
Hi, Simon. Hi, Bob.
Thomas.
I'm so throat guy soon.
You need a couple of lime sips down you, Thomas.
I swear to God. Anyway, it's a point that reports itself that Brentford are going to bid 30 million for Nicholas Kuhn. I think that I know money talks, but I don't think it'll be the right move from, to be honest. No disrespect to Brentford, but I just don't think it's the right move from.
Oh, Thomas, that's a proper sore throat. I'm feeling sympathy for Thomas. It was a good point as well. We've got it out there. So Nicholas Kuhn, his future.
What did
Thomas
say, 30 million?
Yeah.
Well, he's just talking about Brentford. I don't know, you know what it's like. These figures get thrown out there. I don't really know the sort of legitimacy of it, but I think that's just become a bit of a hot topic for Celtic fans, hasn't it? Already, the impact he's having.
He's been brilliant. Listen, as Thomas is saying there, 30 million from Brentford, I don't think Celtic would accept that now, and I don't think Kuhn would want to go. If I'm honest,
you don't think they'd accept 30 million? No, completely hypothetically, of course.
I think they would want to wait to the end of the season. I say that as in January. I think you'd probably get more money for him because the way he's going this season, I think he's only going to get better as the season goes on. Obviously, he's still a really young man. But for him as well, you know, when you come into a football club and you struggle at the start, and we know why, obviously he lost all the weight, et cetera, and this season he's been absolutely fantastic. It's something for enjoying your football. That big move, so to speak, financially is going to come. There's no doubt about it at his age. I just think he'll just sit at Celtic and definitely enjoy his football at least till the summer.
You and him piling on weight since last season.
Yeah, exactly.
That's got something in common.
Yeah.
I take it, has he been the standout player in the league this season?
Yeah, I think he has. I think he's really taken the form that he had in pre-season and just kicked on. So many goals, so many assists, interest from the national team. Unfortunately for Celtic, that, you know, you're in that position where if anybody excels and competes at a level where he's doing it in the Champions League as well, there's going to be interest. Celtic hat on, as Marv says, I would love him to stay, you know, longer, and I think he will. I think he will because the season's just started. He's on our screen as we speak just now. He's playing Champions League football.
Speaking to me, if you want to make it even weirder. Yes, in a freezing cold warehouse yesterday, but it was for a very good cause. He was donating, helping pack food parcels for loaves and fishies. And and funnily enough, Thomas, we were speaking to Nicholas Kuhn about that, you know. He's been mentioned now by the German manager by name, and he's, you know, he's at least kind of on the radar. That's certainly one way to boost the price tag or, you know, strengthen his position, isn't it?
Yeah, of course. I mean, last season he didn't hit it up. See, this season gone, then he's went from strength to strength. Obviously, you've seen the performance there against Leipzig. You know, I mean, he ran the show, and obviously the German manager's named him. Hopefully. In the German squad, so I'm not sure how big a player it is for Celtic.
Yeah, I think carry on, sorry, Thomas.
I just don't think, and I know it's English Premiership, I know that, but I just don't think it'll be a good move from this time.
Yeah, I think he's, you know, he just said he was on his radar. I don't know if that how imminent that makes it. I think scoring against German opposition, though, in the Champions League. You know, probably just helps, doesn't it?
Yeah, it definitely helps. And because the German media then starts to get involved as well, because obviously, you know, a German player doing that. But like you say, scoring, his actual performance, his all-round game has been brilliant. You know, so definitely he's going to be on the radar. And if he does manage against that national team, obviously it takes him to the next level.
It's really like his first season. Well, last year he couldn't get going, and this is his first season. He wanted to win things with Celtic. And as I say, they're on a campaign there. Forget the first game, but they've turned it round in the Champions League. It could be an exciting campaign for them there as well. And
you don't give that up, do you, to go to Brentford, no disrespect.
Not just now,
you
know, I don't think so.
Relegation battle.
So. Yeah, I think he's enjoying his football. But it's just like everything else. If you're performing at a level, you know, there'll always be interest there.
It's become such a well-trotted out story. I think the person that somebody needs to track down is Nicholas Kuhn's dentist. The guy that made him lose all the weight last season that led to the slow start. That's the guy you really need to find if he's out there. Give us a call. I'm sure he's listening. Thank you, Thomas, on the usual number. And it is that time of the night already. Let's do it.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Simon Donnelly, master of the ugly win on Beat the Pundit. Marvin Bartley is alongside him, and you could come on here and embarrass them, quite frankly. Win a signed ball in the process. 0141 951 1025, and the lines close at 7.
Clyde One Super Scoreboards. Watch as well as listen. Check out the Clyde One Facebook page now. Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Marvin Bartley's here, so is Simon Donnelly, both ready for you to get in touch on 0141 951 1025. We kicked off the show hearing from the Twitter legend that is Scotland's coefficient, the man who knows everything about Scotland and where they are and what pots they're in and seedings and playoffs and dates and permutations and all that stuff. It was quite a good insight. So we're drawing a line under international football on that note. Still time for you to share your thoughts, and then we can Look at domestic football as well. Got something a bit different for you in the second hour at some point as well. Got a special guest about to join you too. Ooh. Don't think that means that you get half the night off.
Santa.
Well, I've seen that. The Christmas tree.
There's a suit over there.
The Christmas tree is up. But let's play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Come on then, Beat the Pundit time. You are 80% win rate, Marvin Bartley. Fifth, that is.
Yeah.
And you though can jump above Brian Graham with a win, apparently.
Into what position?
You're honestly down 10. As the king of the ugly win, it says.
Am I below him?
Of course.
Marvin, yeah. You're eighth. Out of nine. No,
I'm going to seventh.
We're still above Gordon DL, you'll be pleased to know. Yeah, I'm afraid
you mean
so.
It can't below be you. Right. Mm-hmm. That was done by the man on Twitter.
You've got
a
6-2.
6-2.
She's actually all right, to be fair.
Yeah, it's not bad.
But the standard is quite high this year. So
you've got to take the top two out of it, though, because they'll never lose.
Halliday's annoying, isn't he?
Yeah.
8 wins, 0 defeats.
Yeah, it's pointless.
Flying. Anyway,
it's
the highest you've been.
Chris is in Cambuslang. How are you, Chris?
I'm good, mate. How are yourself?
Good. Have you ever played before?
Yeah, I've played twice and been beat twice.
Oh, no, Chris. Played twice, beat twice. Who beat you?
The old man.
You've lost twice to Hugh Evans and you've come back for more.
Oh, why not?
You're a glutton for punishment, Chris. I have to say, let's toss the coin.
Laughing at his own jokes, yeah.
No, it wasn't that funny. If it's heads, it's Simon, and if it's tails, it's Marvin Bartley. And it is heads. It's the old man indeed. Ooh, Simon,
come on, Si.
Up against Chris.
Don't feel good tonight.
You don't?
No.
What's up with you?
I don't know.
Under the weather. Celtic tonight.
Sorry? Chris is a Rangers fan.
Celtic.
Oh, right. I've perked up now then, Chris.
Yeah. What's up with you? You feeling a bit under the end you want to talk about?
No, not at all.
We're here for you.
Let's go.
Okay. Let's give Simon something else to listen to so that he can't hear us. We'll get 30 seconds on the clock. Chris, as you well know, because you've played a few times, just answer as many as you can and you can pass if you want to move on to the next question, okay?
No worries, pal.
Right, 30 seconds on the clock and your time starts now. What pot are Scotland in for the World Cup draw?
Three.
Who succeeded Dick Advocaat as Rangers manager?
Alex McLeish.
In what decade were Morton last in the top flight?
90s.
The Tony Fitzpatrick stand can be found at which club?
Partick Thistle.
The Maestro is the nickname of which former Celtic player?
Paul McStay.
True or false, Aberdeen have won the Scottish Cup this century?
False.
How many South Americans play for Rangers currently?
Four.
Okay, let's bring them back. Can you hear us?
Yes.
What were you listening to there?
The Kids of America, who sang that?
I don't know, you're the music buff finished. Amongst us. You're the one that needs to educate me usually. Are you ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
Same set of questions, 30 seconds on the clock and your time starts now. What pot are Scotland in for the World Cup?
Three.
Who succeeded Dick Advocaat as Rangers manager?
Walter Smith.
In what decade were Morton last in the top flight?
80s.
The Tony Fitzpatrick stand can be found at which club?
St Mirren.
The Maestro is the nickname of which former Celtic player?
Paul McStay.
True or false, Aberdeen have won the Scottish Cup this century?
False.
How many South Americans play for Rangers?
Three.
Who won the championship last season?
Blank.
Nope, that's not them, unfortunately. Chris, how do you think it went?
United.
I'll tell you what, I think it's very close.
I think Chris sounded alright. Sounded pretty confident, but so did you tonight. You put yourself down, but I thought you were certainly in the mood. Right, let's go through them and find out. Scotland are, as you've heard many times already over the last couple of days, in pot three for the World Cup draw. You both got it, 1-1. Who succeeded Dick Advocaat as Rangers manager? It is Alex
McLeish.
Oh, so Chris got it. He goes 2-1 in front. However, you strike straight back. Morton were last in the top flight in the 80s.
Yeah, remember them
so
well.
So you've equalised. And the Tony Fitzpatrick stand is at St Mirren. So Simon goes 1 in front.
Chris didn't get
he
that.
Said Partick Thistle.
Wow.
Ah, nightmare.
Can't do that.
The Maestro is, of course, Paul McStay. You both got it. It is false that Aberdeen have won the Scottish Cup this century. Haven't won it since 1990.
Yep.
So you both got it. So still one up to Simon. How many South Americans play for Rangers? There's every chance we've counted these up wrong. On my sheet, so this is where I blame somebody else, it says Jeffrey, Cortez, Danilo, and that's it. It's three. Simon Donnelly gets it. Chris said four. Unless you can think of another Chris. If you give me one, I'll give you it.
No, you can't. Hey, listen, you can't do that.
Yeah, you can.
Can't do that.
Give in, but no.
And the championship last season, former Dundee United assistant manager, just hopeless. Terrible. But you were already over the line. You did pretty well.
Did
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. You didn't get that far. It was a 6-3, I think. Unlucky, Chris. Chris, that's three defeats in a row. I don't know what to offer you here. Give it another go.
In a year. I'll go back for a fourth.
Good. Good on you. Like that resilience.
You know what I mean? Simon, well done, mate.
You said you're a Rangers fan, Chris. Is that right?
Yes, I am, mate.
Are you, what are you thinking for after the break? Hoping that some sort of upturn can take place for after a couple of weeks off?
I really don't know. I really don't know. It's got to that point where it's like, if we just take it as it comes and just deal with it. Like, Celtic are a million miles ahead of us. Like, there's no doubt about that, but we need to worry about second place right now.
So you're sort of worried about second place first and foremost, yeah?
Well, yeah. If you look at the reports from Belgium when Clermont was in charge over there, you read everything. You read the reports when he won the league, when he done this, when he done that, and you look at it, right? And he was getting the best out of people and the performers and the players that he had. And everybody's trying to blame Clermont for now at Rangers. But is that really the problem? I don't think it is. I think it's the players that are the problem.
This was, of course, the week that Rangers named the new sporting director. He was there already, Marvin. So people are looking at structure. They're looking at manager. Chris is more looking at players. There's quite a web of frustration there for fans like Chris. So
yeah.
The easiest way to put all that to one side is just get back and start winning some games after the break.
Well, that's the thing. It takes care of itself, doesn't it? And I've spoken about it before on this show. I've been at football clubs where in administration and all sorts going on at board level. And when you cross that white line, you forget about all that. You know, these Rangers players are still being paid at that time. What's was happening to me, we weren't being paid every single month. But you go across the line, you're a professional athlete and you need to win games of football. I think, you know, Clermont would be disappointed with the way the season's gone. Well, I don't think, I know that would be the case. But I said the same thing about Rangers. Even if they've won games this season, I've seen a lack of style to it. And I wouldn't be surprised, you know, if Rangers were to lose another game this season and it was outside of, you know, Celtic or Aberdeen. You know, and that's been a long, long time that you would have said something like that. But yeah, listen, they need to get back to winning ways. They need to close that gap on Aberdeen. I've said it before, Celtic are gone. Rangers won't catch Celtic. They need to make sure they finish in second place, because to finish in third place would be a complete nightmare for them.
Gordon, I've got a quick point.
Mm-hmm.
Can we have Marvin Bartley back as your David Weir right now?
Okay, things are not that desperate. You must be joking me. That's
I can play
shout.
Left wing.
Yeah, we are.
That is
we
the
are.
Worst shout I've ever
I can
heard.
Play left wing.
Listen, if our best defender is Liam Balligan at 36-year-old, and he's a phenomenal
get him
defender.
Back. Oh my God.
We'll get
Balligan as
our David
Weir. Honestly. Chris is on the Christmas sherry a bit early.
Listen, I agree.
Who am I to judge? Funnily enough, though, that if tonight kind of about that bridge between international football and domestic football, John Souter's now probably, definitely Scotland's like first choice centre back, and looks extremely comfortable at international level, didn't he?
Yeah, he had a great game on Monday night, and obviously we touched on it earlier on the show. I know him really well from his early days. Again, another one who's got the mentality to handle the situations. We played him in a semi-final when he was 16, him and Ryan Gold, and they were excellent. He's been hindered by injuries, John.
See, look at you raising your eyebrows. This guy's not just here to take ridicule off you at Beat the Pundit. This guy's shaping, shaping the careers of future Scotland internationals.
The two played at Hampden against Celtic, and they were excellent.
They actually were really good, weren't they? I remember
they were
that.
Really good. I think we beat 4-3 in the end. But he was in that team at an early age. He can handle. That's when he went to Rangers. I thought he could handle that situation as well. But he's been hampered by injuries at different times. He was excellent the other night, and it's great for the nation as well if we can get him in there at the top form the way he was playing the other night.
Just need to keep him fit, don't you?
Yeah.
Like you said there, the injuries that he's had, you know, I think it was Achilles injuries, wasn't it?
He
was on his
injury.
Way back, and then it went again.
Yeah.
So definitely, listen, it takes a long time to get up to full speed. He looks like he's there now, and the main thing for Rangers will be keeping him injury free, and obviously for Scotland as well. They coincide with each other.
The sort of unique challenge that sometimes Scottish football can bring around, because I remember the last break he came off the back of it in a clean sheet against Cristiano Ronaldo. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The next game's at Rugby Park, it's just so different. Marley Watkins is bashing you about and scores, and mm-hmm. so I guess for some players that, you know, different styles maybe suit a bit more. I'm not saying John Souter doesn't work in, you know, in domestic football, but it's just funny how you can find what is perceived to be a lesser level. In fact, it is a lesser level, yeah, but it has its own challenges.
Yeah, definitely has its own challenges. The pressure's probably a little bit more from him as well when he puts on the Rangers shirt at this moment in time, because, you know, they've been struggling. And like you said, you know, Rangers play a totally different way. It's also about the players around you. So yeah, listen, he needs to go back now to club football, the international football you now park, because as well as he's done in these previous two games and before that, he needs to make sure he continues that form for Rangers, because they need him massively now if they could, you know, to start looking up the league.
Thank you very much to Chris. It's 01419511025 if you want to get involved. And I've got a special guest coming up on the show, so let's take this break a little bit early and get that sorted for you next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Check out our YouTube stream now. Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Marvin Bartley and Simon Donnelly are still here. You'll be disappointed to know, but we've been joined. We're doing something very different. What about, how's this for a crossover? When does rugby ever get mentioned on Clyde One Super Scoreboard? Well, this is a first, because we've got Duncan Weir of Glasgow Warriors fame just along the road in Scotstoun. They're of course building up to a big game in December against Edinburgh, and it's going to be played at Hampden. See what we've done there? Hampden football. There's your crossover, and it's a joy to have Duncan with us. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Thanks
and
for having
me. You're a big football fan amongst the rugby fraternity, aren't you?
I am indeed, yep. I am indeed.
You out yourself with your team just
oh,
now?
Oh no, we'll I'm a Rangers later. Man, yep. Uh-huh. Sorry, Simon.
So you were,
I played for Celtic, so we'll get on to that, I'm sure. But
see, he's a proper, he's proper into football, so that's why we handpicked
I wasn't good enough
guy.
To play for Rangers, so that's why I
So hold on a minute. You were good enough even at a young age to play football at that sort of, and then you play rugby for Scotland as well?
Yeah.
Are you good at everything?
No. Guys? I just got sick of putting rugby second for so many years in the pro youth level and all the rest of it, and yeah, I just thought I'd give rugby my full attention, and here I am at 33 and still trucking.
There's a joke in there about kicking it over the bar every time or something, isn't there? And then he realised. But you're just jealous because we've finally got a guest on here that can bench press more than you, Marvin Bartley.
Yeah, that is a problem.
That's what I reckon. You throw your weight around in here every week.
Not allowed back.
We finally met your match, honestly. No, but seriously, it's great to have Duncan along. I know lots of you will probably go along to Scotstoun along the road at the weekends and see the guys in action, but it's a big one that we're building up to, the 1872 Cup at Hampden, 22nd of December, a 3 p.m. kickoff. That'll be pretty cool, won't it?
Yeah,
home of football, but transformed.
Yeah, it's going to be a big occasion. I think this is a good challenge for the club to kind of go outside their comfort zones of leaving Scotstoun, and Hampden's a great venue to go and expand that horizon and bring more people along to the game. I remember going with my dad to the Scotland-Australia game many moons ago. That was the only other game of rugby at Hampden, and yeah, it was a great occasion, albeit it was pretty empty, and we managed to sneak down to the comfy seats and get the tellies in the media section. So nah, I'm hoping, I think the ticket sales have been going well. I think we're at 18,000, and hopefully we can keep building on that and create a good atmosphere. And I know I heard during the week that one of the sponsors of Edinburgh have managed to claim Church on the Hill, which is obviously a big pub that's close by, so hopefully the Glasgow fans can go and get crash it, and yeah, they can get a wee round one in there before it.
I like that. Well, listen, Duncan's going to leave us some tickets and we'll give them away tomorrow night's show, so keep tuned for that. With that in mind, actually, how's this? Do you remember last week when we somehow, if you think rugby's a bit of a left turn for us, we were talking about Jason Manford, the comedian.
You mentioned that.
Were you on that night?
Yeah.
No?
Yeah. I don't think we were, but you mentioned it for
because
the previous night.
We were talking about the odds for match of the day,
yeah.
who the next presenter
yeah,
was going to be.
Yeah, we were on because yeah. he quote tweeted,
and then for some reason he ended up like responding to Andrew McLean, yeah, who's yeah. our reporter. His like mum's friend tweeted to say Andrew should be the new host of match of the day, yeah. and Jason Manford replied. I know you're thinking, where is this going tonight? For the rest of the show. In fact, you know what? We'll chuck in everybody that called before as well. But anyone who makes it on air to speak to the guys tonight, into the hat for tickets to see Jason Manford on Monday at the Armadillo. Happy with that?
Class.
Tying it all
yep,
in.
Decent, that is class.
Decent.
Why did you put your glasses on for that story?
Because I was looking at the odds that are down here.
Well, something. Have you seen this, Marvin? I'm going to. No, don't show them. Hide them. Because I've been waiting on you two coming back. Genuinely, the producers in here, because they're wacky like that, decided to contact a local bookmaker. Thanks to McBookie for doing it. To find out which of our pundits genuinely.
So these are real prices.
These are real odds. Which of our pundits has the shortest odds of becoming the next Match of the Day presenter, right?
Not Simon.
I mean, come on. Who's the only one that actually is hosting the show? Who's
yeah,
the only
you don't
one?
Count.
Who's the only one that's presenting the show?
You're higher than me.
Simon Donnelly is the favourite of all of our pundits to become the next Match of the Day.
That'd be class.
Still 50 to
1. He's still 50 to 1. If you, so
that's
what that
bad.
Means, for people who don't understand betting, that means if you put a pound on, you'll lose a pound, basically. But he is still, Simon Donnelly, because you played, like
Premier
Gary Lineker,
yeah.
You played in the Premier League.
Yeah. Not,
you've
didn't score as many goals.
The same colour of hair.
Mm-hmm.
You're in the same age bracket.
Same colour of hair.
So it must
you're
be,
older than Gary Lineker. Now, how old is Gary Lineker?
Oh, he's in his 60s.
Oh.
So it must be something to do with that. But genuinely, you are, amongst the super
real,
scoreboard
these
pundits,
prices.
These are real odds. You are 50 to 1, shorter odds than anyone else.
That's not bad. What are you, Gordon?
66.
Devastated.
What is
you're,
he?
You're 300 to 1.
That's outrageous.
And your partner is only 20 to 1, Ailey, there as well. So
outrageous.
You're miles off it.
Wow, you 300 can forget and she's 20?
Yeah. You know your place, spy.
Put some money on myself.
I don't think any chance. Anyway, 01419511025. Still managed to. What's the balance like? Obviously, rugby being your playing priority. You still kind of stay in touch with football. You know, still a big football fan. Is that a rarity in the dressing room, or how does it work?
Nah, it's definitely the Glaswegian or the homeboys they'll have a club.
Yeah.
We've got a physio at the club that used to be at Celtic, and he's an Irish man, so. He gives us a bit of stick. Obviously, with the state of Rangers at the minute, he's the first one that comes in and shakes your hand with a big massive smile on his face. But it's a good culture. Like it's not too serious, but it is live and kicking. I remember the lead up to Seville, and fortunately enough for me, well, unfortunately enough for the rugby side of things, I broke my thumb, so I managed to get out in Seville. And I remember the I'm feeling it that was played in the tune, yeah. in the gym and the. And getting that on repeat as much as possible. So, there's a good culture there, and yeah, we all buy into it.
And to the, because you're from Cambuslang, right? So,
yep.
Very much in Super Scoreboard heartland and football rivalry heartland. See to the other guys who come into the dressing room from further afield, do they get it? Do they think this is just a madness, this place, when it all comes down to it?
So, we've got three Argentina boys a couple of years ago. Who we managed to get them, sneak them into the semi-final against Ligsburg at Ibrox. Obviously, one of the best nights as a Rangers fan.
Yeah, for sure.
And they were in, they were singing all the songs. And who's the left-back that's away in loan at the minute? The RG? He's away back to Brazil or something.
For Celtic?
Yeah.
Oh, Burnaby.
Yeah, so he came to Glasgow. They're all best mates with him. All of a sudden, they're going around his house for barbecue. I'm like, boys, you can't be jumping shit here. You've tied to Rangers. Like, you were there arguably the biggest night of the club's history with the best atmosphere that you could possibly dream of. And now they're going mates swinging to Celtic games every other weekend.
I thought he was about to say that Burnaby was in the Rangers end that night.
That's the end of his career.
It was
funny. Like they're totally like it goes over their head. Like we'll just be Celtic fans this year. And it's funny. One of the boys he actually texted me the other day, Domingo, and he's out playing in Montpellier in France. And he's playing Simply the Best. And he was like, "Forever Blue, brother." I was like, "I've heard that once before."
I liked it. Then to take that the next level, the Montpellier players must be going, "What on earth?" What about Burnaby, by the way? Have you seen this stuff?
He's
flying over there.
He's in Brazil, wasn't he?
He's Argentinian, but someone wanted him called up to the Brazilian squad because he was playing so well. They just didn't know what nationality. Yeah. They just assumed.
Yeah, and now I did read that.
Suggestion: wow. Celtic could get quite a nice fee for him, despite the fact. He very rarely kicked his backside here. There
it's
you go. Inspired
it's
by his new rugby.
Inside knowledge, I know Rodgers doesn't he go on with him? So,
oh,
there we go.
See, this guy is a
bombshell.
This guy is a rugby player, and he's given more insight than you two have.
I'm more worried about
years
the Masters
of
might have been playing in the Masters than anything else. It's
unbelievable.
Current affairs.
That's sensational. I can see the headline tomorrow. And sensational fallout. Brilliant. Oh, this, we're flying along here. 01419511025. If you want to call in, whatever it is. Whatever topic you've got for us. And like I say, anyone who gets through on the phones tonight, you want cheered up at this time of year, you'll get in the hat for some tickets to see Jason Manford on Monday night as well. So get in. Do you still want this is probably a stupid question. Do you play football much? Can you? Do you? What's the...
Nah, I played in a charity match in the summer there for a great cause, and it was up at Stirling Albion. And yeah, I was lucky enough to score the opening goal. But believe it or not, I'm 5'8", but I was 5'8" when I was quite young, so I was a centre half back in the day. They probably thought when I was at Kilmarnock that I'll shift out to right back. Kicking being one of my main kind of strengths in rugby and being able to swing the ball in. So I was I'm playing right in of a midfield three, but I wasn't tracking back at all. I was just sitting like in that. Actually, it's a great formation if you're just going to hug the right touchline because nobody picks you up. So I was just bombing it up and down the right wing and just whipping in some balls. And yeah, it was good fun. I've caught a half volley to score my goal, and it's hit Callum Davidson right in the belly and hit the back of the net. So it was a clean strike, and I was just so happy I didn't balloon it over the bar, and I've made a good hit of it.
Muscle memory just kicks in, clears the stand, runs away, celebrating. So you played for Celtic and Kilmarnock as a kid?
Yeah, a few other clubs as well. Fulham Boys Club was my main boys club when I was growing up, and a handful of boys went on and had some good careers. I went to school with Kenny McLean at Calfkin as well, and James Forrest was in my Celtic team when I was there, and guys like that. So I remember James, he turned to me inside out, left and right.
Is that when you knew rugby was for you?
That's when the physical side of me came out, and I just wanted to put him up there more often than not, because I knew I had no football ability to stop him. But yeah, he was unbelievable at that age, and he still obviously played a massive part of Celtic's campaign last season, and it's great to see him still kicking it.
Are you a similar age to Kenny McLean?
Yes, so he was in my year at school, but he qualified to play a year below me at football level. I don't know.
When the birthday falls after January or something.
But from minute one, you could see how technically gifted he was. And we had a strong school team, actually. And yeah, it's great to see.
You still keep in touch with any of those guys?
Kenny, not so much like me contacting him now and then, but every time when they used to be at the Orium, and being with the national team now and then, I used to bump into him then, and it was always good to catch up with him. I know John McGinn really likes his rugby, and he would chum along and
they
catch
went,
up
didn't
with
they? McGinn, yeah, Christie, and Robertson went to
and they were all brand new. To be fair, we had a couple of dinners with them, and it was good to know them, those boys as well, because obviously with the wage difference in rugby and football, those boys are superstars, and you get to know them, and they're just brand new people. They're just absolutely there's no kind of hierarchy. They're all brand new, so it was good to get to know them.
Listen, we've been going through some of the success stories from the last week or so. How could you overlook Kenny McLean and all that, you know, talking about it's a different one. You know, Doak's this like sign of the future that in many ways the hard thing Kenny McLean's had to face is the accusation that he's the past, if that makes sense. And people looking at, I've been in loads of squads and look at the age. And by the way, Norwich is a brilliant level, but it's not Napoli, or it's not Aston Villa, or it's not Bournemouth. So that's the other midfielders he's competing with. But I mean, if Scotland played next week, he'd start again, wouldn't he?
He was excellent. He really was. Keeping the ball, him and Gilmore really complemented each other. He's a nice footballer. He's a good footballer. And he's probably never been given the credit at international level, but he's popped up with some important goals, none more than the one in Norway. He always contributes when he comes on. And now, obviously, Callum McGregor's stepped aside from international. There's a place there. And as you say, he's taken it.
I think it's disappointing.
I was going to say, like, in the Euros, I felt like he kind of got stitched up, kind of coming on at left back half the time, and then being that kind of insert that would go into the middle of the pitch, where now that Callum's retired, it's obviously opened up that middle of the park role, and he's obviously been playing really, really well in there.
Because I think Portugal really, that was a particularly outstanding performance, wasn't it? And then kind of carried them on.
Yeah, because people saw him as a fall guy as well, didn't they? You know, when things weren't going too well, and they're saying, you know, you read things on Twitter, and every time the team was announced, why is he playing? Why is he playing? I think he's shown his last couple of games exactly why he's playing. All the things that you mentioned there, and his discipline as well, makes a massive difference, because without people like him, Ben Doak can't go and do what he does, and the forward-thinking players can't go and do what they do. So
even Andy breaking, you're talking about left back, he was in that area the other night, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Andy Robertson's bombing forward.
Yeah, and just filling in gaps. So yeah, listen, he's been absolutely brilliant, as you said there, Gordon. If there's a game next week, he definitely starts again.
Go on then, what are you feeling as a Rangers fan at the moment? You were in the studio, you sat there with the last guy called in, and he was feeling pretty down about things, and he was talking about third place as the kind of battle right now.
Yeah, no, I would agree with him. I mean, I don't really know much about this scout boy that's got the technical job or whatever it was announced today, but I don't know if that's the right appointment or where you kind of try and go from here, or if that's the only guy that was there, that on the market, that there was the only option for them. But yeah, it kind of looks like a slightly messy from top to bottom. I've seen a lot of Rangers fans wanting Clement to take that Belgium job and look for a new manager, and obviously Stevie G taking back Beale today. Like, I imagine they two ended up in the back of the club a couple of months or a year down the line. So yeah, it's dark times. But
you telling me Rangers fan, I can just about see Steven Gerrard. You're telling me Rangers fans would take Michael Beale back?
No, I'm just saying, imagine that roller coaster came back around.
Do
you think they would, though?
These phones would be lively.
To get Gerrard back, do you think Rangers fans would take Beale back?
Answer the man. 01419511025. Every caller who gets through can win tickets to Jason Manford. What do you think? I think no.
Nah, can't.
We're not a very forgiving bunch.
I just think Rangers fans absolutely loved Gerrard. I think they would turn a blind eye to it.
Well, listen, who do you agree with on here? Give us a call and let us know. I think that would be, but interesting, because I suppose there was always a, I don't know, was it an accusation? Maybe it was true and they've patched it up or whatever, but I think people probably thought Gerrard and Beale had maybe kind of gone their separate ways. Were you surprised to see them reunite today?
Yeah, no, I was surprised when I saw it obviously flash up on the television. I was actually in here when I saw it. I was surprised, but listen, in football, Michael Beale's meant to be an outstanding coach. Obviously, Gerrard's team hasn't started the way he wanted them to out there, or it's not gone the way he wanted them to. So, listen, sometimes you have to put those things aside and, you know, do what's best for the football club and for your own personal career as well.
I tell you what, sorry, Gordon.
No, you carry on.
I love the way that Gerrard conducted the media. I felt like he always got, didn't matter what question was put to him, he was given his answer, like how he wanted it. And I feel Clement came in and he had such a presence, and he was saying that the players weren't fit enough and all the rest of it. But this season, Clement with the
changed.
Media, it's like a circus act, isn't it? Like he's kind of going in circles and
Under pressure.
You can tell it's kind of creaking in.
You're talking about the performances of Rangers. They've not been good enough, I'm sure you'll agree. And the fact that they're behind Aberdeen as well just now just heightens everything for him. But I agree with you, at the beginning he was a wee bit more measured, but he's under severe pressure.
It can be a strange way to spend your Friday afternoon, let me tell you. But Marvin, what did you make of the Nils Koppen one yesterday? Because I've been really fascinated by the response from Rangers fans, because at this stage, let's be honest, I said this last night, he might go on to be an unbelievable sporting director, and I think everyone has to admit they don't know that yet. But what people are saying is, right, from the outside, what's he done to deserve the job? Maybe that's unfair as well, because maybe a lot of it is internal stuff that you don't see, and maybe you know, he's got a brilliant mind and eye for this sort of stuff. But from the outside, fans will say, if you're in charge of recruitment and you then prove over a sustained period of time you're unbelievable at that, you get your promotion, you become sporting director. Either there are two ways of looking at it. He's not had the time to really see if you can get the fruits of the recruitment, or the more harsh analysis would be that it's not been brilliant enough yet to justify the promotion. You then go to the wider argument, which is there is no CEO. Should the CEO be in and he picks the sporting director? I know you're sort of coaching hat on and structures of clubs and stuff. Does it can you see why Rangers fans might be a bit unsure?
Yeah, I can see definitely why. And you mentioned two scenarios there in terms of, you know, even if he's not been given enough time, he's not very good at the job. Either or, he shouldn't have been given a promotion. I think it was a time for Rangers to go in a fresh direction. They sit third in the league. I think some of their signings have been questionable, to say the least, probably over the last couple of years. So I was very, very surprised that it happened. And, you know, Rangers fans haven't been happy with the structure of the football club. So to see somebody get promotion during these times, it was strange. And also, like you said there, who's made the decision for this to happen? You know, so there's a lot of questions that need answering. At this moment in time, there's probably no one in place to come out and answer these questions, which, again, is another frustration for them. But, yeah, I think they, you know, I was surprised it didn't, you know, look further afield and bring someone in externally rather than promoting someone internally.
Okay, thoroughly enjoying having Duncan Weir with us of the Glasgow Warriors. We're talking a bit of rugby, a bit of football. We're having a bit of a crossover tonight, building up to the 1872 Cup game at Hampden in late December, just before Christmas. Much prefer Duncan's company to Marvin and Simon, actually, but they are still here. Charlie's about to join us on the line. How are you, Charlie?
Hi, Gordon. How are you doing? All right?
I'm good here. How are you?
Not bad. So I was listening to somebody talk earlier on tonight. Somebody talked earlier was about Nicholas Coon getting sold or would he move in January, etc. But his agent was already in the paper today, Christian Nerlinger, the ex-Rangers boy. He was in the paper today, and he did a good piece. And it seemed that everyone was happy, everyone was rosy in the garden at Celtic, and it is. But I found it interesting when I think about Brendan Rodgers' comments about it's the player and not the league. When this transfer does eventually happen, it's a player, not a league. And I don't know if you've noticed, but we're in the midst of a change. We are in the midst of a change, and this is a new season in terms of European football. So every year, or every a couple of times a year, you'll hear people talking about Celtic going to a new league. Celtic need to go to the English Premier League or some new league. And you hear talk of an Atlantic breakaway league. Well, you can forget that, because they're in. Celtic have broke away. Celtic are in a different league. It's a new Champions League. So the Champions League have usurped any Atlantic breakaway by having this new format, the new exciting format that's far better, by the way, as opposed to finishing last every year or second last and seemingly we're going to do it every year. We're now in a table, an actual league table. And by the way, see if Celtic won their next game against, is it against Bruges?
Yep.
Celtic are knocking on the door of the top 10 teams in Europe. And that's how we are going to be perceived. I want his first impressions last, by the way. I hope we do really well this season. First impressions last.
So what do you think that all means then, though? Like, you came on and said about that stuff, you know, the player by the player, not the league, Nicholas Coon.
I was getting there. A very wise man said, if you don't have any questions, you might hear the answer.
Sorry, Charlie. We've got a minute to go before the break, so I get a wee bit under pressure sometimes to just move it along. But you carry on. Don't let me stop you.
A top 10 team or could be a top 10 team in Europe. See, when players come looking for Nicholas Coon, I can guarantee you Brendan Rodgers is going to be asking to bring Champions League-sized wallets, because that's where we are now. In an environment where 40, 50, 60, 70 million, not only is it unheard of, but it's the norm. So Celtic have left the league in terms of finances. They've left it completely, and they're in the new league, and the Champions League have usurped any breakaway by having this new format, which is far better. Mm-hmm.
So you think any bid for Nicholas Coon needs to be like way, way, way different from anything Celtic have received before?
Yeah, absolutely. We're now in a new league. It's north of 40 or 50 million now. That's where we're starting for our stars.
Wow, that is a lot, isn't it?
And you know, it might seem a lot for us, but see, for the Champions League and European top class money, it's not, is it really?
Yeah, anywhere out with.
I think 50 million is still quite a lot, though.
What did Matt
Well, half of that.
25?
Yeah. I mean, add-ons, all that sort of stuff.
I can get with
Charlie. I think he was more in the end, to be fair.
Where Charlie's coming from there, I agree with him. I think the new Champions League has freshened everything up. It's gave more opportunity to, I think, teams like Celtic, you know, to go and do well.
I don't doubt it. Does it add 20 million onto your price tag? That would be the bigger question.
And how do you reject £35 million for a player? And you say, well, the wages have to match up. It's about the wages, because, you know, a £35 million player is going to be paid far more than what can be paid up here. So that then that becomes a problem. You sit there and tell a player you can't go for £35 million.
He said, "That's fine. Give me 70 grand.
Yeah, pay me like I'm a player that's worth that." Then, and that's where the problem comes. I get it from a fan's point of view. I get it from a manager's point of view. From a player's point of view, you know. And Simon, you know this as well. That if someone turns down a bid for you, then okay, well, pay me the equivalent of what that sort of player should be getting paid.
Yeah. No, I agree with you.
It's a fair debate though, Charlie. We'll watch with interest to see what impact it has in the future. Thanks to Charlie and Greenock, Marvin Bartley, Simon Donnelly, Duncan Weir of the Glasgow Warriors with us as well. It's a good time to call. We'll get you on next.
Clyde One's Cash for Kids Mission Christmas
with J&D Pierce, Scotland's premier structural steel specialist. Think steel, think quality, think Pierce.
It's definitely that time of the year because the Clyde One Super Scoreboard Christmas tree is up. So there we go. If you needed further confirmation that we're nearly there, that is it. It is not that far away. And for kids across Glasgow and the West and Ayrshire, it's usually one of the most exciting times of the year. But each year on Mission Christmas, we want to make sure that every child can get that excited feeling, because with food to buy, homes to heat, winter clothes to buy, so many families are struggling and Christmas treats become a luxury that many people can't afford, unfortunately. I'm sure you agree with us that no child should miss out, and you can help us make a difference by supporting Cash for Kids. With your help, we make sure every family can get the essentials they need and maybe even something for the kids to open on the big day. Morag from Clydebank charity Made With Love explains why her sister Christine set up the charity and the struggles that they've been facing.
Christine realised in 2016 that families were not getting help during the summer holidays. 6 weeks of the summer holidays is a long time for families if their children have been getting free school meals. So we had set up and we started running cafes in a pantry. And then during lockdown, we had to change the dynamics, and that's why we now give out vouchers. But now we give out vouchers, we can help more families this way, and it's more dignity to the families if they get a voucher and they can go to the shop and choose whatever they want to buy, whatever they need.
I hate reading this stat every night. As many as 1 in 2 children in some parts of Glasgow in the West, 1 in 2 are living in poverty. So we can't always make it this big magical day. We're just trying to make it different for so many children out there in our communities, and we can't actually guarantee that every penny of that 100% goes to people that need your help. So to find out more, it's clyde1.com/mission, and that is Cash for Kids Mission Christmas, supported by J&D Pierce.
Clyde One Super Scoreboards. Watch as well as listen. Check out the Clyde One Facebook page now. Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Marvin Bartley and Simon Donnelly, as always. And Glasgow Warriors, Duncan Weir is with us. We're building up to that 1872 Cup game at Hampden. It's played at Hampden. There's your crossover. We've got Duncan in. We're going to give some tickets away tomorrow. And it so happens, it sounds like Duncan pretty much had as good a football career as Marvin did, judging by his history he was telling us. So,
and he scored.
Exactly.
He scored a goal as well.
Do you remember the last goal you scored?
Yeah, at Tynecastle. I'll never forget that.
For Hibs?
Livingston.
All right.
Yeah.
That'd been even. Talk us through it. I don't remember it.
It was a long throw, flicked on.
You threw it in?
Bicycle kick.
Not a chance.
Like a sidewinder.
Was it?
Yeah.
Because I was quite pleased with it.
Delighted. I'd already been booked if it was my top that came off, so I couldn't do that. And then they scored to equalise right at the end.
I know that you've put those 14 kg of muscle on, the top would be off. But back then, you decided against it.
Yeah, I'd been booked, man. I got sent off.
And as a man who, you know, wasn't your forte, I guess at that point, do you know that's your last goal? I mean, are you thinking it might be?
I didn't even shoot in training. Like, honestly, I never used to shoot. Like, even in fives, I was just like, pass.
I'm going to whip that goal up.
Honestly, I was class.
Pitch kick.
What was your last goal? Masters don't count.
Can't remember.
Seriously?
Can't remember.
They weren't recording back then.
Tatted official when this guy was
churning up the pitch on a Friday.
On a Friday, and then I had to play it on a Saturday.
So he scored for Thistle at some point, and that would have been your last goal. I'm going to look it up.
Yeah.
So were you at Warriors at that time? Because you would play in like a Friday night at Fir Hill.
The pitch was a disgrace.
I mean, he's wee compared to the rest of them. Churn the pitch up. Yeah.
I'm the smallest, though. No, I just...
What's up with Duncan's mic? It doesn't... There you go, you're back.
No. I'd be in, put my studs in, raking it around.
That's probably what ended my career. Playing on that.
Did you know like a bobbly pitch? No.
No, I did not.
Quite mad when you think about that, and all like financial reasons and stuff. Because it was, wasn't it? It was Friday night.
And then we would play on a Saturday. And if the weather this time of year, the pitch was like a bog.
Yeah, it was a sandcastle at the best of times. It was good for a goal kicker, I was saying off air. Like 50 metres would be a good kick, but there you were 62, 63, and you were...
Because it's shorter?
Yeah, because it's shorter.
Ah, right.
And we used to play in the Heineken Cup in the European competition. It was these Adidas balls that they don't make anymore, but they would fly. And Dan Parts had some crackers there, like 70 metres, it says on the like pitch map thing, but it's nowhere near 70 metres.
Seriously? Meters.
But yeah, he's drilled a few long ones.
I guess like footballers are... A sort of what's the phrase I'm looking for? Certain parameters that you have to work within. So the Thistle pitch would be fine to play, but noticeably smaller than other pitches you would play.
Yeah, massively. I think there's minimum guidelines.
He's kicking
I think
it from that behind was in the goal.
I think they were like on the threshold of how small it was. Yeah.
Right. How do you like get put in like fly half position? By the way, is it like one day in training everyone's kicking and the coach is like, "Oh, you're actually decent at this." Like, how does it happen?
He's a football expert. That's why.
I don't really know. I just, I'm one of the smallest guys, so yeah, I would never be a forward.
Yeah.
Like, there's something seriously going wrong if I'm anywhere near that. So, yeah, I think being a natural kicker of the ball and kind of at that age, I was quite gobby. So, I quite like to orchestrate things and tell people where to go. And that's kind of your job title when you play standoff at rugby. And athletically I'm nowhere near as gifted as the guys outside me. It's my job to kind of give them the ball in space and let them do the magic. And I actually think a lot of footballers would make good rugby players as well, with the agility that they've got, the way they can kind of, with the ball at their feet, they sway their shoulders to beat the players.
I'm thinking,
is a crossover.
What position could we go? So you'd
ref, he'd be ref.
I'd be
scrum so half.
Yeah, I can see that. Yep, right, yep. Okay.
So you're passing me the ball. Nice.
Yep.
What about you now, Marvin?
Wait, is it,
you're talking about these four.
He's in the scrum.
No, scrum.
Gets it out.
How little do you know about rugby?
Smaller guy that puts it in.
Oh, okay. Comes around the side.
Starts it.
Is your turn
number
base,
eight or
Marvin?
Something.
Starts
it. It used to be all right.
Used to be all right.
Yeah.
I think you could be a big crash ball centre.
Think so.
Yeah.
Just bundle his way through.
Yeah. You've seen him at the Masters.
Okay, let's see if we can get that.
Oh, he's had a rugby career, by the way. I played in, when I was like 11.
Did
I remember,
you?
I was actually playing that same position because obviously the same football thing. And I was
on. You just asked if the scrum half was in the scrum.
No, wait a second. But I was absolutely tiny. So it was like either the wing or fly half. And then they passed me the ball. This is the truth. And this massive kid came running towards me. I just threw it over my head. And it's like, that was me. One game, that was it.
I know you're the dodger.
Who was the team?
Look at you now.
No, I was at school.
School.
Yeah,
school team.
11.
Is it as simple as you can kick a football, you can kick a conversion? I would guess not. The technique a bit different?
I reckon a professional footballer could.
Oh, really?
Could do it,
I think like NFL and stuff, that technique's is that different? That looks like a sweeping motion.
I think the sweet spot in that makes it so hard. So you see a lot of these Gaelic footballers all going out and trying that NFL pathway stuff to become kickers. Loads of my pals have been saying, "Dunk, you need to give that a go, because like I'm not getting any quicker, I'm not getting any faster. Like I'm just going slower and slower.
They are going to get it banked."
They just bring the player on for that specific.
Yeah. Your job title is to kick the ball.
That could be you.
And if the opposition touch you, it's a penalty against them, the opposition.
Why did you not do that?
There you go.
That sounds so much better.
There was actually, I've not really said this on an interview, but there was a chance that I would go out to the Miami Dolphins. There was a contact coach that was out there at the time. And I remember he used to be involved in Scotland national stuff, and then he got the punt, and then I think I didn't get selected
the
for
punt,
that summer
I like
too.
That.
So I had a good one. So yeah, he was out there and he was like, "Dunk, we're needing a kicker. Any chance you can get out to Miami? I'll get you a trial. I'll get you. You can stay in my digs. Like, just get out here." And I've just signed a new contract within the SRU, so I'm like, I don't know if I can do it. It's a bit too dodgy, but a lot of me is kicking myself not to do it.
We'll come.
I don't know. 100%. Team agent, media guy
from Miami. No problem. I wish this show could go on a bit longer. We're nearly finished. I'm enjoying this. I looked it up. Your last goal, 24th of April, 2010.
2010. Who was it against?
Ross County away. Dingwall.
No record.
2-1 win. Paul DiGiacomo for County. You and Martin Graham, who I know as well. I've met Martin a couple of times. Scored. And you're in the same team as current Scottish FA chief exec Ian Maxwell. He was in the team. Martin Corrigan. Is that Motherwell legend, Martin Corrigan? Of course it will be.
Yeah.
No, is that he played for Thistle?
Yeah.
Didn't know that.
Yep.
There he was away from home. You weren't in the sandpit. That's why you scored.
That's why he scored. Exactly. And current Partick Thistle manager Chris Dillon was hooked after an hour.
Oh,
but you scored just at that time.
That's what it does.
Brilliant. Right. Thank you very much to Marvin and Simon. Thanks for all the calls. What we'll do is I'll collate them all. We'll get them in the magic hat. Someone will win the tickets to see Jason Manford on Monday. Make sure you enjoy that on us. Have a few laughs. Much funnier than we are, quite clearly. That'll cheer you up in these dark in fact, we've done it already. Charlie, well done to you, Charlie. Charlie was the winner of the Jason Manford tickets. Jason, well done. And Charlie, you're off to see him. Duncan, thank you very much. That was a pleasure.
Thank
what
you.
We'll do, Duncan will leave us some tickets. We'll give them away tomorrow night for the 1872 Cup Clash at Hampden. This is our football and rugby crossover. I'm sure you've enjoyed it. Duncan was the perfect man for that. What a football and rugby insight he gave us. Really enjoyed that. And we will speak to you tomorrow evening from 6 o'clock. Gordon Dale and Mark Wilson back together. Enjoy the rest of your Wednesday.